Hey everyone, welcome back to the Pickup Line. It's
Hi.
Me and my co-host Hannah Vaughn. Hannah, how's it going?
Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome back to the Pickup Line. I'm so excited. I feel like the chat's really active this evening.
My
pulse is elevated for some reason. I just have this like newfound energy as of this week, and I'm like really excited about it. Man, working from home is like a whole new thing. I haven't been this happy. I feel so in control of my life. I'm spending time with my pets. I have ate breakfast, every day of the week so far. And I've made dinner I'm having home cooked meals. I just have energy to do stuff. And I'm just really happy.
Isn't that nice when you're happy and you have the energy to do all these things? Like working from home has made a huge difference in my life and my happiness. And it's given me so much time to dedicate to developing, you know, YFNA and working with all of you to make this channel into a network.
Yeah, I feel really lucky. Like it's been really good for my physical and my mental health, because like my physical health and my mental health were taking a huge toll from the job I was working. And I'm just really grateful, because I know that that's not something that everyone's able to do, but like, especially as someone who has like ADHD and like a bunch of mental health issues or conditions, like, I feel it's only been a week, so I know I'm going to find things to complain about at some point, but I'm just really grateful. I feel very in control of my life. And this isn't a mental health episode. It's a little more wild than that, but I had to get that out of the way, because I feel so refreshed. It's wild.
Oh, I need that. It's okay to talk about your mental health on the show. This show is supposed to be real, not, you know, us being as open and honest as possible. And that includes our mental health, our life, not just our sex life. I know I'm learning that I actually really need to see not only a psychiatrist, but a therapist to get the help that I need. Because while some of the medication helps, there's a lot of issues I have and struggles I have mentally, where, like, for instance, I had tried something that alleviated everything, all the pain I feel mentally for 48 hours. And it was honestly the greatest I ever felt. Yeah. And that was what initially prompted me to start looking for a medication that could help me, because this had like calmed my mind. It focused me. It made me just not so neurotic and not so much noise going on in my head, which can be very difficult and debilitating at times. And for those that don't understand, just imagine trying to focus with like 15 explosions going off in your head, all in different directions. That's the best way I can to describe it. And it gets hard. There's so much going on that it's like, Jesus Christ, can I just please focus on one fucking thing for once?
Yeah, well, it's hard to go through and accomplish everyday tasks, important tasks. It gets in the way of relationships. It gets in the way of work. Like, it's frustrating. And I actually am going through life with unmedicated ADHD. So like, medication's not for everyone, but I did have to work really hard to make changes to be able to function with it. But if you need medication, like I'm always like, don't be scared. Like talk to a professional and see if it works for you. So
That's what I need, because in particular, I have a lot of trauma from the bar industry days. And we're going to get into the sex convention in just a moment. But unfortunately, I worked in the bar and wedding industry for about 10 plus years. And because you're around alcohol, there are people that are always starting fights. And to me, when you're a DJ, you work in a bar, it's your responsibility to also help the employees out. And as a result, I got into a lot of altercations, typically just trying to restrain people, but it's made me very jumpy. The medication I'm on right now has helped tremendously, but there's times where I'm just standing there, and if you just touch my back, I'm like, I freak.
I have experienced that firsthand with you. Like when I went to a bar with you, like you were very, very alert.
Yes. Like it's overwhelming. It's like, I'm just sitting there like, and I hate fighting. I'm a peaceful dude. Like I have been attacked where I had like physically assaulted where I'm still like, I don't want to do this. Like I hate it, but it's put me on such a high alert and makes my anxiety so high that there are certain things in my personal life that trigger it. And there, it's ridiculous little things where it's all of a sudden I'm like anxious and I'm uncomfortable. And you know, my partner is incredibly supportive and always tries to talk me through it, but it sucks, man. It's very difficult to deal with. And that's something I need to talk to a therapist about.
I'm really curious to hear, because Ethan went to a sex convention, apparently. I only heard about it after. I was like, what? I didn't know you were going to this. So I'm really curious. I'm really curious if like any of that like anxiety came up while you were there. I mean, we can get into that in a little bit, but I mean, we go from COVID lockdown to like, you know, kind of, I'm sure you've had some outings since then, since the world has opened up a little bit more. But now you just went to a convention. I'm really curious how that felt. And
Hannah, it was very intense. And I was, so I'm just excited because I have a partner who will let, like, we'll get to explore together and let me try these things. Like, once she said she wanted to go to sex convention, I was like a giddy child. I'm like, dude, yes. I'm like, I've always wanted to check this out. But once when I got there, picture a kid at a candy store that's overwhelmed because I walk in and I'm just like,
oh my God.
Like not knowing what to do, not knowing what to say. Everybody's super sex positive. And in my head, all I hear is the shame culture, purity culture of, oh my God, you shouldn't be doing this. This is wrong. Why would you bring your girlfriend to this? This is, you know, you're not a good person, all that. And it's like, stop, just stop. It's stupid.
Like, I hear that's kind of like the experience a lot of people have, like their first time going somewhere where they're surrounded by other people that are like very like sex pop, like a place where you're supposed to embrace that kind of thing. And then it can turn into something very liberating. I mean, I'm sure that there's people who went one time and went, this is not for me. And so for anyone who doesn't know that sex conventions exist, I think someone in the comments earlier was like sex conventions, like the conventions of sex, like, do's and don'ts or like the ins and outs or like an actual convention. Like, yes, we're talking about like how any other trade or niche or like community has a convention or a con and like an expo. There's one for sex. Yeah. Like there's one that is literally just based around sex and different companies put them on. They have different sponsors and it's like going to like Comic-Con.
Yeah, it is. It's very much a Comic-Con for sex.
Yeah. And so I mean there's a bunch. I feel like kind of a fraud and like really surprised with myself that I've actually never been to a sex convention. I've been to sex shops, I've been to like interesting clubs and stuff, but I've never been to a sex convention. And then there's Sex Expo, there's Adult Con, which is a porn convention, there's Exotica with three X's, there's Swing.
That's where I went.
Really? Oh my gosh. Yes. It's like the biggest one in like the nation. Because that's Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So swingers conventions, BDSM conventions, you name it. Yeah, Sexpo. I don't know if it's called Sex Expo or Sexpo or if those are two different things. But I mean there's lots of reasons why someone would go to a sex convention, and I think that's pretty cool. Did you want to add anything to that?
Well, yeah, there's a lot I want to expand on. But before we do, there's a caller I want to get to in just a moment.
Yes.
Well, for those who are unaware, last week we were talking about kinks. And one of the kinks I brought up is I have a friend, and I'm going to frame this as I framed it last week, and I'm going to leave her room to correct me on this. I had talked about how she, in one of her kinks is kind of an MMA thing where she enjoys getting put into a physical situation where she's going to be dominated by a male. And she goes through, signs this waiver, like there's this whole thing.
Wow.
So yeah, I probably explained it very poorly, but she agreed to call in and talk a little bit about it. So Donna, are you there? You're on with Ethan and Hannah.
You do explain things really poorly.
All right. So if you could please correct me, because all I know is you're into like an MMA style beatdown, but I don't really understand it. So if you could please kind of expand on that and correct where I went wrong.
And I like, so, and also I just like, when I called in, I also like expanded the topic for you a little to just like non-sexual kink in general.
Ooh, so, okay.
For myself, so we're just going to talk about this from like a non-sexual pain play perspective. So for myself, some of the things I engage in BDSM aren't necessarily about me getting off sexually. Sometimes for me, it's about something else, more of like almost a meditative practice or going through something and coming out in the end, like successful. I don't know. It feels like a kind of, I don't know. Some people are into like extreme sports or something like that. Like it feels like a challenge, something they go through. I kind of get a similar thing out of that, out of it for myself. Okay. Also, I kind of get some other unique things out of it. Like, I feel like it helps me work on like trust with other people, because, you know, you have certain boundaries of things you've consented to ahead of time. So like, no, I'm not like signing like a legal waiver with somebody ahead of time, but I do sit down with the person that I'm going to do a scene with and go through things that, you know, we are both consenting to. So while I'm putting myself in a vulnerable situation, I'm also completely respecting my own boundaries and to what I'm going to allow or disallow to happen within that situation. So it's, while it allows me to be vulnerable, it also then allows me to have that empowering factor at the same time. So for myself, that's kind of like what the non-sexual kink or pain play can be for me.
So to be clear, there's no, if I'm understanding correctly, there's no type of sexual gratification from this.
No, not for me, no.
Okay, so it's...
Now, for example, I have done like shirabi work with someone, and shirabi? There's no sexual gratification. Shirabi, like being tied up like suspended and rope. And there's no sexual gratification for that in me.
Really?
The other person has like... No, another person has like made the comment that like, you know, like it's not sexual for them. However, you know, they're not going to deny that the fact that like I'm naked, that, you know, like they are a man, like they're not like, oh, like I hate that. But, you know, it's not like there's no like excessive sexual, you know, like touching or into like that interaction going on.
Is it kind of like a form of intimacy for you?
If you would say intimacy in like a romantic relationship, no. It can be different if I'm engaging in that activity with a romantic partner. Okay. I would say it'd be kind of can work on intimacy and kind of like, more of just like a general sense of like with friends, relationships in general.
Like
this idea of connecting, trusting another individual.
How do you let go like that? Like for me, one of the reasons I've never been into, sorry, one of the reasons I've never let someone tie me up is not only have I not actually had very experimental partners in the past, but it's kind of a fear for me. Like this idea that I have to put all my trust in someone. Like there was one time where a partner was like going to try it, and immediately every time I put my hands up, I put my hands back down. Like I couldn't make myself vulnerable enough to trust them, because I'm like, dude, what if they like tickle me, or what if they screw me? Like, dude, I'm going to be totally screwed. And there's so much trust that goes into that, that I give you props. Like, I don't know how you're not only willing to be completely suspended and tied naked, but also willing to put yourself in these like MMA like scenarios. And that's fascinating.
And that's the thing that you work through, I guess, is that, and I guess that's part of like the why certain people, you know, feel the need to do things like this, the, you know, the urge. And I guess what it is you don't like start out running, you know, you work up to it. Like, you know, the first time you do a scene with somebody, you're not like doing the most extreme things right off the bat. You know, you and I have had personal conversations about this. I know about your bondage phobia. You know, if that was something you were willing to like work through, people call those like soft limits, where it's something that, you know, they know they have, it's a fear for them, but they want to push through it. You don't, you know, just push through right away. It's something you build up with a trusting partner. And because you build up with this person little by little and they didn't violate your boundaries, then the next time you feel like, okay, well, I can go a little further because, you know, they, you know, put one handcuff on me last time and they didn't leave me there.
Right.
Didn't tickle you. However,
you know, it's a process, and there are some things that are like absolute hard limits that's just like not going to be, that's not a place for you mentally, that is a safe place for you to go to. And that's not something you're going to do.
So I have one more question before we jump back into the sex conventions is, can you kind of explain this MMA situation a little bit more? Like, how detailed is this thing you sign? What do you do during it? Like, are you fighting back? Like, if you wouldn't mind.
So when I have done it, it's been, would be considered more of like a primal play scene where, there's, you know, mats put out for safety. I mean, in BDSM, it's, you know, saying safe, consensual. So like, you know, there's mats put out for safety and such. So it's not like, you know, we're just like, whatever, to just get hurt or something, like as much as possible. You know, we negotiated it to like, you know, legit karate or boxing moves or form for what we did. And, you know, it was a fight scene. So it was somewhat of a fair fight, except I would say, you know, I'm probably around like 110 pounds versus the person I was fighting was probably closer to like 250 pounds. So, you know, I'm clearly outmatched. So I'm not.
Yeah, that is not the same weight class. That is not allowed.
Harder than they're going to take my punch. But, you know, that's, you know, we had, you know, set up for certain rounds and such. And so, you know, I know going into it that I'm going to be like the submissive, or, you know, the partner that's being dominated, so to speak. But, you know, it's it plays into a lot of things. Like,
is the end goal kind of going? So sorry. There's a little bit of a delay, so I find myself talking over people. I'm so sorry. But is the kind of, not end goal, but like at some point you kind of like the goal, I guess, for lack of better words, is to kind of end up in a to submit, like to get, be put in a submission.
Or I guess in those scenes, which is kind of different for me, it's almost like a survival thing. I want to feel like I made it through to the other end.
Okay.
I have two last quick questions.
And then as far as like what I sign, so like, well, you keep going back to what I sign. My partner and I, before, it's not like there's signatures on it. That's not a legal thing. But like, you know, they have a, you know, certain list of things we go through into like what you feel comfortable with, what you don't feel comfortable with. Also, you know, they always follow up with me on like, you know, what current like physical health issues or mental health issues are you going through? Are you on any medication? When's the last time you ate? You know, like if I hadn't eaten, they'd probably force me to eat beforehand, because when you're doing things that are going to involve a lot of adrenaline and stuff like that, like you know, need to make sure that you're taking care of yourself so that you're not going to feel like more exhausted than you should be afterwards, or things to that extent.
That's very responsible.
There's no, like, legal signatures going on. It's just sort of more of a like making, you know, like bullet points for going over consent
and communicating.
Yeah. the only like legal documentation in BDSM I've ever signed is like going to a BDSM dungeon where you would actually sign off, like, you know, what you see, stay, you don't, you can't like go disclose about people.
Right.
So, you know, that's just kind of like a standard form if you go into some a place like that, but it's like a, you know, what you see stays there.
Right. I have two last real quick questions. One, yeah. How do you feel when it's done?
For myself personally, I feel very like level. It's a lot of times it's very like regulating for like anxiety and things like that. Like a lot of times it's one of the only times when I feel like my head is completely quiet.
Quiet heads is the best thing ever, or a quiet head. Okay. And then,
and that is some of like some of the other, like, I guess like benefit or like reason, I guess I would do it is like you go into like a scene like that and you know, you're kind of just like in the moment. You're not really like thinking about like anything else. And that part of being in the moment is somewhat like balancing and, you know, mind emptying, which is can be a very beneficial outcome.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like after you go to the gym and you kind of just feel like, I mean, you have all those and those endorphins and you feel
it's the exact like same chemical process almost, really. It's the endorphin dropping and things of that nature. And that's also why like people who engage in BDSM also will participate in what's called like aftercare. So that's after a scene where you're doing things that are going to be dumping adrenaline. You do things to like build yourself back up, like physically and emotionally afterwards, like making sure that you eat well or like take a nap or use like a soft blanket or things like that. So that, you know, if you've just dumped a bunch of adrenaline, sometimes you can feel a little like flat or sad the next day. So you'll do things to kind of like amp up your good, feel good chemicals after a scene to make sure that things like that don't take place.
Okay, one last question.
So that's also something that people.
Is your partner okay with this? Because I know, like, I I'm new to a lot of this, and I'm trying to get more and more comfortable with these not only these conversations, but putting myself in certain positions. Is your partner okay with this? Because I guess not that. I mean, it's your choice, obviously. I would have trouble letting my partner go and let that happen to her. I'm really protective.
My partner and I are not like polyamorous. So like I'm only romantically involved with my partner. Okay. But I do have non-sexual kink play with other people, which is what you're asking me about. To my knowledge, my partner is okay with it. I think my partner... And I don't want to like.
No worries, whatever you're comfortable with.
I think there's also certain things where like maybe they might not necessarily like be into that. So it's kind of maybe okay for that. Like, you know, like, because it's not.
I see.
Like, again, because we're not engaging in like a sexual or romantic practice, I don't think it's a problem for them.
All right. Well, thank you. Hannah, did you have any last questions?
No, thank you so much, Donna. This has been really interesting and enlightening. Thank you so much for sharing this.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks
all
for calling.
Have a great rest of your show.
You too.
Thanks.
Well, I'm glad Donna took the time to call in and explain that, since I clearly did a very poor job of explaining it.
Grossly misrepresenting her kink.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad. I'm glad she was able to clarify it, though. So
no, it was nice to have her call in and just give more, you know, just clear that up and represent it a little bit more in depth. It just makes a lot more sense. And that's interesting. That's really cool. I mean, I know that she mentioned it wasn't really like for sexual gratification, but kind of sounds hot.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, seriously, Hannah?
Thomas, you want to put me in a triangle choke? Okay.
Sorry. I can't tell if you're serious or joking, actually.
No, oh, I wouldn't joke. No, like, I don't know. It's just like, when she started to talk about, like, the trust and, like, the primalness of it, I was like, that's, like, really, like, I don't know if you're doing it kind of as, like, a therapeutic kind of, like, trust exercise. Like, I don't know. That's, I don't know. I like it. I like the idea of it.
All right, back to sex conventions.
Yes. So, we talked about like what sex conventions are.
They are educational, very educational. Like they have, so it went on for the whole weekend. We only went the one day, but they have all these different,
workshops and have a workshop seminars.
But I guess before I get into that, you know, I wanted to talk about, you know, I walk into this place and I'm immediately overwhelmed. Now, keep in mind, I'm really enjoying myself. That may have not been obvious externally because I was just shut down because it was a lot for me to process.
Sometimes it can be a little bit overstimulating. I understand.
Yes. So they've got, you know, a stage with dancers slash is strippers an appropriate term still?
The strippers I know are fine with. Identified as strippers. So I mean,
stripper. There's porn stars. There's cam girls. There, you know, there's everything. There's people dressed in outfits. I saw one couple, or I can't say a couple. I saw two people. One feminine, one appeared masculine. Had one of those rubber masks on and was chained. And I guess I don't know the proper terminology for this, but the feminine person was kind of like pulling them around on this this necktie. So I believe it was like a dom sub situation, but I believe there's another term for this kink in particular, but I don't know it. And everyone is so sex positive and friendly. And here I am, the shy person. So to give you an example, we pass, my partner and I, this flogging station, and she's like, or these flogging toys. And she's like, I want to check this out. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, again, she probably couldn't tell that I was enjoying myself because I was genuinely overwhelmed. Like looking at all the sex toys, I just kind of like had to keep my head down and I would be like, kind of like peeping out of the corner of my eye just because I felt this intense shame for being there. And I'm like, oh my God, like what if somebody gets me on camera here, if takes a picture of me? Like, I'm just like, yeah.
Like, let's just completely ignore the fact that you have a show about sex.
Right.
What if it's someone finds out I went to a sex convention?
This cognitive dissonance I have in my head that was as a result of the purity culture I grew up with and how I'm supposed to be ashamed of my urges. Mm-hmm. Additionally, like I had a partner who basically had said that all of my kinks were unrealistic and that's something only, quote, you know, porno stars were into and I should get over it and it's not like that and women don't enjoy it and painted this picture and I felt ashamed. And now like I'm learning like, holy shit, no, that's not correct. Women enjoy some of these kinks I have. So I'm just now getting out of my shell, but we approached this flogging station and this guy had asked the working there, like, have you ever been flogged before? And she's lit up. She's all excited. And he's like, you know, he offers it to me and I'm just like, and he's like, well, he asked her. And then he asked me, he's like, are you okay with it? I'm like, yeah, I don't care. So she got flogged with one of those things and she looked so happy. And then he's like, here, do you want to try? And I couldn't do it. And I felt bad because I could tell she was genuinely enjoying it, but I was so internally ashamed and still with that guard, like you can't hurt a woman. You can't do that. That's wrong. So even though it didn't hurt
you her, absolutely can hurt a woman. If she consents, hurt her real good.
she was clearly enjoying it. And she said it didn't hurt at all. So, but I froze. I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't. No. And he comes and talks to me about it. He's like, are you feeling ashamed? Are you like thinking about like how you don't want to hurt women? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I've been, you know, very programmed that way. He's like, it's okay. I used to be like that too. I've been through that. I understand where you're coming from. Like very supportive.
The guy at the flogging station was having
this conversation. Yeah.
That's incredible. You know, like where else would you have this conversation with a stranger? And that's like,
Right. And he kept telling me like it was okay that I was unwilling to do that, that I was uncomfortable and there was nothing to be ashamed of. Now, full disclosure, my partner did get the flogger. And I she's like, are you sure you can do this? I'm like, privately will be different. I'm like, publicly, man, there's just, at least right now, there's too much shame. And like, I don't need that type of stuff going around. Like even right now, tomorrow morning, I'm telling you this right now, I will be kicking myself for even talking about some of this. I'm going to be embarrassed, but I'm getting better. And soon we'll get to a point where I'll giggle less and Hannah will no longer be able to embarrass me or make me uncomfortable.
I mean, I think there's also this kind of idea that if you're uncomfortable, that you're like a prude and that you're like not cool. But I don't like, I think the whole idea is that we should be focusing on is like, do what you're comfortable with. And if you wanted to flog her, like there's always next time, but don't force yourself to do anything that you're not ready to do. Like clearly you weren't ready and that's okay. But if there's always next time to flog your woman, if it's something you really want to work up to, it's just like, it, be true to yourself. And I think that's kind of the point of these like sex conventions as you go and you're around very sex positive people who are there to just like encourage you and like push your boundaries a little bit. But I think that everyone's boundaries should still be respected and no one should be shamed for their sexuality or lack of comfortability, or you know what I mean? There's a lot of reasons people go to these things. And I was doing some research and it not only does it kind of build that community and that shame-free environment, but you touched on the education and I thought that was really cool. I looked up some speaker lists for some of these conventions that are coming up and I was really impressed with the lines up. They have sex educators, sex and relationship coaches, sexual health advocates, entrepreneurs, activists, more. So they have seminars and then they have workshops focusing on like sexual, like health and safety and good BDSM practices, but also BJ&G spot workshops and learning about the industry. If you want to get involved about the in a safe way
and learning more about the vagina. Like I was excited for some of these seminars and again, they were very sex positive. There was one I wanted to go to. It was sex and religion. But to be honest, the only reason I wanted to go was to ask a bunch of questions and be annoying. And my girlfriend's like, no, we're not here for debate, Ethan. We're here
I
for.
Think I saw that on the. So I saw like one that was like for Chicago. And I'm thinking because it was this. It said 2021. So maybe it's already happened. But I was looking at the website and it was like how sex and religion can coexist or something. And yes. I would totally. So yeah, I definitely saw like the ad for that one. And I was like,
two of the people we saw, they are longtime poly partners. They have their own podcast. I will be reaching out to them and asking if they'd be willing to come on our podcast because they have like we only got to attend the half hour one, but they basically combined this whole hour and a half segment into a half hour. But I would like love to have them on. And one of the good analogies they gave for consent, which I had never heard, which was having consent like you have your fries, freely given, reversible, informed, enthusiastic, and specific. I think that is great when it comes to consent.
Fries like the acronym, not like how you have your French fries. I was like,
oh, yeah, not like how you
French fries informed.
So, again, freely given.
I would love freely given fries.
Reversible is really important and it's not talked about as often. Yes. You can agree to something and then in the middle of it become uncomfortable. And if you are uncomfortable sexually, please speak up. Don't put yourself in a situation that you're not ready for, or maybe you were excited. And I had a friend who was hesitant to speak back to her partner because she's like, well, what if they think I'm boring now? This was just too much. And I'm like, no, I'm like, speak out. Like what you don't like is important. That's how you both enjoy it. You have to express yourselves and communicate as much as possible. And I can't emphasize that enough. Communicate. Tell what you like, what you don't like, parts that feel good, parts that don't feel good. All of that is so important to enjoying and expressing yourself sexually. And, you know, don't, again, if there's something that's hurting you or you're not enjoying, don't do it. Stop yourself, you know, or stop the other person. Let them know. Because we need to be maximizing pleasure and minimizing pain, unless it's pain that you consent to.
Ooh, can I have that last? That was like a headline. Like, that was a quote.
Was it really?
Yeah, like maximize pleasure. And minimize pain unless it's pain you're consent, unless you it's pain you are consenting to.
Exactly.
That was like, good job, Ethan.
Oh, thanks, man.
That was a motto, man.
Oh, it is, because it's like, that's one thing I'm learning and I'm still getting used to, is the importance of experiencing and allowing your partner to experience pleasures. Like, for instance, compersion is when you're happy that your partner is experiencing pleasure or happiness. And she says I can talk about anything. So I'm going to assume I can talk about this. Not that I'm assuming, but she's pretty like, just talk about whatever. So
I can tell you're definitely probably a little more private than she is. So I understand.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
She's very sex positive. All her friends are sex positive. And I'm this shy guy that's new to all of this. I'll go into the swingers party when we have our swingers episode with Dr. Daryl Ray. But let's just say
Ethan went to a swingers party.
I did. And let's just say there was an experience there. And that when I saw the look on my partner's face, that was my first experience with compersion, of seeing her enjoy something that wasn't necessarily for me. It was like, it honestly made me so fucking happy, excuse my language, to see my partner experience that. And it made me more open to these other things. Cause I'm like, dude, I'm like that, that made her so happy. I want to maximize her pleasure as much as possible. But the details for the swingers party are for another time. And before we get to our caller, one more thing. I generally accept Facebook friend requests from people as long as we have a decent amount of mutual friends. However, my partner's family started friend requesting me, and I'm like, I can't do this, man.
No.
On my Facebook, I'm talking about swingers parties. I'm talking about sex. I'm talking about drugs, politics, religion. I talk about everything controversial. So I'm just like, I don't want their opinion to change of me, especially if I'm with their, you know,
of course.
And I'm talking about this stuff. So now I've kind of like, I need to put accepting friend requests on hold, because yeah, I mean, it's bad. I already have my family on mine, and they think I'm nuts. Like my mom thinks I lost my mind since becoming a liberal atheist activist. And I just keep getting more quote extreme with the topics I cover, but that's just because
you're a radical liberal. Right.
But one thing I learned, and this probably has lived to bit my family in the ass. They always said, when there's a problem, you talk about it. And that's, to me, like what I do now. If I see a problem politically, religiously, or sexually, I'm going to talk about it, because to me, I don't know better. Like, hey, this is a problem. We should be talking about our problems, because that's how we resolve them. And while I don't want to offend people, I think everybody needs to get just a little bit more comfortable talking about the stuff that sometimes
that matters to you.
That matters to you and can make you uncomfortable, like these political or religious conversations. I'm not saying put yourself into something where you're just like, yeah, this isn't me, but we're not going to solve problems by us each sitting on one side of the fence and throwing rocks at each other. We're going to solve these by opening the door, sitting down, and having a conversation. At least that's how I look at it. And I know not everyone agrees with me. I know there's times I engage with extremists where other people are like, you should not be talking to them. I want to expose the opposition. I shouldn't call them the opposition. Other people to as much skepticism and critical thinking as possible. I'm done rambling. I'm sorry.
You're on fire today, baby.
Oh, thanks. I couldn't do this without you, Hannah, though.
Go ahead.
I was going to say we have a caller that wants to talk about needle play, but you were about to say something.
I just wanted to follow up really quick about the sex cons and other reasons why people go, because we talked about like the community and the exposure and the shame-free environment. It's my understanding that there's also like entertainment, like pole dancing and performances and contests and adult stars that might be there and after parties. Like, it's just for fun.
It's a lot of fun. There are after parties. Because they're expensive. And I will say, I'm watching the pole dancing and the strippers, and there's this MC. And after my partner and I walked away, the first words out of my mouth were, well, I think that MC is kind of chauvinistic and degrading women. But it was true. Like, I'm sorry. You can be an MC for strippers and not be a creepy fucking douche. Like, you don't have to refer to women by a specific name and only that sexualized name. You can build them up in other ways. You don't have to talk about yourself and how cool you are. You know, there's ways to be sex positive without using negative words that hurt other people or that stereotype them in some way. Yeah. And that's why I was like, dude, I'm an MC. I would put this guy to shame because I'd be building these people up in a sex positive way, not a
Monday, Ethan, we got to throw our own sex con.
You know what? I think that's a great idea.
The pickup line in the future. And it's not, we're going to put a lot of thought into it before it's even a thing. Cause that's scary. The whole idea of like being in charge of something scares the shit out of me, but, entertainment, shopping, buying cool merch or spicing up your sex life with new toys. And like I said earlier, sexual wellness and safety seminars and things like that. So, it sounds like it's a lot of fun. I got to find my way to one of these. I feel like a total fraud for not going because like I've talked about myself being kind of vanilla, but I really do like embrace just different things. Like I think normalizing sexuality is wonderful. And I'm just fucking all for it, man.
Same. And I know I get uncomfortable, but to me, I'm only uncomfortable because I was raised very differently. And I believe these conversations are important and need to happen because, dude, seriously, we only have one life, man, one life. And I don't believe there's an afterlife. So why? I want to enjoy this life as much as possible and not sit here with a stick up my butt worried about every little thing. And I want to experience as much pleasure and fun, responsible pleasure and fun as possible.
Yeah. I do want to touch on one thing.
Yes.
Some people are into degrading verbiage, but not everyone is. And I think that MC probably needed to take that into consideration.
There you go. Yes. Verbal degradation. Some people are into it and that's okay. But the place for that is not on stage with a bunch of people you don't know. Like I couldn't turn that part of me off. I was sitting there like, while trying to enjoy the dancing, I was getting annoyed by the MC. I want to kick this guy off stage and like, just stop.
Cause it should have been about like the performers and how like talented they are and sexy and beautiful and great there. But it sounds like he was just like, check out these bitches, you know?
Yes. Except he was referring to them with the P word only. Are you ready for your next P? I'm not going to say it.
Ready for your next pussy?
Yes, that word.
I don't like, get
that's what he was referring to dancers. All of them as.
That's really weird. I'd be annoyed. Like, I've always, like, a dream of mine at some point, I would love to be a stripper. I just want to experience it. Every time I go to a strip club, I look at these women like as if I'm a little girl seeing a Disney princess for the first time. Like, I'm like, holy shit, I want to do that. Like, they're incredible. Like, they're so talented. They're so beautiful. I hold strippers in like the highest respect. I am not even kidding.
Some of them are incredibly talented. Like the moves they were pulling off, I was just like, dude, holy shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just, I feel like it'd be a liberating experience. But if someone was like, oh, next up is this pussy Hannah Vaughn. I'd be like, first of all, fuck you.
It was like, no, are you ready for your next P word? And like, just sitting here, like crawling on my skin. Like, dude, hero. They have names. They are people. Will you stop this? Like,
yeah, unless it was like, some people are into verbal degradation. And okay, I would love to hear from our next caller. They've been waiting long enough. Thank you, caller, for being so patient.
Yes. And so if you're listening on the phone right now, please turn down the YouTube stream. There is a 15-second delay. Our next caller wants to talk about needle play. Ooh. Phoebe, you are on with Ethan and Hannah. How are you?
Very well. And 4 in the morning.
Sorry, could you talk a little louder?
I say I'm doing very well at 10 to 4 in the morning. Is that better?
Yeah, there we go. Perfect.
Thanks for staying up so late for us. I mean,
yeah, I know. I don't stay up that late.
I'm glad you found your way here.
This is insomnia for you. This is insomnia.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is straight up Ron Marathi insomnia.
Tell us about needle play.
Yes, so please.
You hit the YouTube and I find your friendly neighborhood atheist, and here I am chatting to you about needles.
Well, good. I'm happy you joined in. I'm not happy you have insomnia, but maybe for this one time only, I'm slightly happy because you're able to join us and talk about something I have no experience with. So we're all ears.
So where would you like me to start with it? Just how basic do you want me to go with the starting here?
So if you could just first define needle play.
Simplest way that I would define needle play would be the use of needles of varying sizes, lengths, etc., in ways that are either inserted into the skin for the causing of either artistic or pleasurable sensation.
Okay.
May I ask, is this like a pleasurable or artistic for you?
It's a bit of both. Because some of the times that I've given my back over as like a art canvas, so to speak, and I get a lot of endorphins and a lot of endorphin rush from the sensations of the needles being inserted. But because I've got a fairly large back, you can do some quite intricate things with that. And I don't know if you know, needles are gauged. So the smaller the number, the larger the needle.
Right.
And some 12-gauge needles, which are fairly large needles, these are double insertion needles into somebody of me. So I had 136 of these in my back, and I had 4 suction cups on the top to make a butterfly pattern.
Wow.
And before you continue, may I ask, for you, is this, like earlier our caller was talking about non-sexual kink, is this a sexual or a non-sexual kink?
No, I don't get off sexually to this. This is for the endorphin rush, this is for the relaxation, this is for the enjoyment of it, because I have a strange association with this kind of pain. I'm okay. Autistic, so I react to pain slightly differently. And when I'm going through this, particularly with what I was just describing, I was laying out there and I was relaxed. I was in a very calm state. I was getting the flood of the endorphins. And every time you'd feel a new one go in, it would be like a bit of a smile on my face going, oh, yes, this is really nice. This is really wonderful. This is lovely. So it's that kind of release that I get. And there was people that are doing it there that are getting off in one way or another, sexually or non-sexually, with them inserting the needles into my back. So these aren't going straight in, because that would be dangerous. So they're going in lengthways. So it goes in.
Okay.
Like you would if you were sewing, almost.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's amazing, because I've heard of needle play, but I've never heard it talked about in this way or really at it.
Do you bleed from it? I mean, sorry if that's a dumb question.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Of course you bleed from it. And that's part of the fun of it. Because in pre-COVID times, the bleeding could be used as part of the artwork as well.
Wow.
When you're taking the needles out and you've got the marks that are left behind where the needles were, you can then go and fill in those marks with the blood that's coming out. And then when it dries out, you've got the nice outline. It's like painting by needles and blood.
I'm actually looking up some photos right now, and holy moly, I did not realize that this really is an art, and I'm seeing some really...
Whoa.
It really is artwork.
Yeah, no, I mean,
yeah,
impressive. I've heard of needle play, and I just assumed it was people laying down and poking each other, but this is incredible.
It is. So if you can, and if you're comfortable, if you're queasy early, I probably should have given a trigger warning beforehand, but Google needle play and look at the images. It's pretty wild. Like, it's definitely takes some type of artistic talent to do some of what I'm looking at. Like, this is incredibly beautiful. I mean, it's, for me, it's a little like harsh to see, but it's like the imagery is also quite amazing.
It's impressive. And I assume, like with any kind of, I mean, would this fall under the umbrella of BDSM, would you say?
Absolutely, it does. Technically speaking, doing this in the part of the world where I'm has to be done very carefully.
Exactly. So I'm sure that there's a lot of research and knowledge that has to go into
this. There's a reason that it's done in such an artistic way, and there's a reason that it's done in the way that it is done. It's because if it was done purely as a sexual, you're getting off on this sexually, in the UK, that would be illegal. If it's done in a therapeutic way, which is the way that I see it, and a way that relaxes me, so an extension of what this is a form of therapeutic acupuncture.
Right.
So it gets round the rules because it's not BDSM, which is causing pain, causing harm. It's therapeutic acupuncture. So it's a relaxation method, and that's one of the ways how you can get around the law in the UK. And it has been tested in court that no, that's a perfectly legitimate way of getting around the law in the UK.
Wow.
Because the UK law is very strange on BDSM, because it says you can't do BDSM between consenting adults, but you can have what's known as rough horseplay between a bunch of drunk lads, and that's fine, the rough horseplay. But the BDSM done between consenting adults, no thank you.
Are you serious?
I did not realize that. That is mind-blowing.
I have a law degree, and this was one of the most ridiculous things in UK case law.
Now let me ask you this. Do you think, or in your experience, would a police officer actually arrest you for something like that?
Theoretically, a police officer could arrest me if he was being an absolute dickhead. It wouldn't go down very well for the police officer, because then the police officer would have to, if he was going to proceed with this, would have to go to court and testify in open court about why he was there, what was he doing there, what were the reasons that he got tipped off, etc. And for the police officer, any barrister worth their salt would embarrass the backside off of him.
So I know that they have BDSM like conventions and clubs here in the States, but is that not a thing in the UK? Or are they like very underground secret?
They are, but they are incredibly underground. And you can do things like this in like a group convention setting, and that's normally where you go. And everybody comes in and chip in towards the food, they chip in towards the soft drinks afterwards, they chip in towards the cost of the needles. There'll be somebody there that's medically trained. It's like, I'm a trained first aider, so if anything goes wrong, I know how to do the basics on this. One of the people that used to run it was a qualified vet, so they used to know what they were doing with the needles and things. It's all done in a very safe way. And before you're even allowed to go anywhere near putting a needle in somebody else, you have to watch someone else do it. You have to do it on yourself first in a safer area on yourself. So then normally on the forearm you'll stick a few needles in there on the forearm, and then somebody go, yes, that's a fairly sensible way of doing it. And then somebody will usually be with you, and then they'll sit there and go, the way to do it is this, and the way to do it is this. And when you're doing like the artwork I was talking about, the butterfly, that will never be done with just one person. So there was two people working on that, and there was somebody with me making sure I was okay. They were talking to me, and I had to verbally consent each time to continue, because if I was to go into a state where I was, what's the word I'm looking for, where you go into the state and you get all the natural high state, and then you start to pass out slightly from that, then they will stop that because you're not able to consent correctly to it. But yeah, it's all very active consent, as opposed to some of the other kinds of BDSM, which are more passive consent until somebody says no. Whereas with this, it's much more the opposite way around. You have to keep on saying, yes, I'm fine to carry on, yes, I'm fine. And it's a beautiful feeling that I get, because I get all the endorphin rush, and it just relaxes my brain, and I get such a wonderful adrenaline hit from it.
So question from our audience member, from Amit. If it's all right with Phoebe, can you ask them how they found out that this was something that they enjoyed doing?
Ooh, I've always had a strange relationship with pain, personally. Being autistic, I've had a very odd and strange relationship with pain. And I was just experimenting with different things, as you do when you're growing up. And one of the things that I found was that if I was to place sharp pressure on some parts of me, it would, well, this is quite relaxing. This is not a negative feeling. And then you start to play around with a bit more. You maybe get a needle here or a sewing needle there, or maybe just something sharp. And then it gradually went from there. And then I started chatting with a partner that I had. And then one thing went to another. I said, oh, on this kinky social media site, they've got groups on there. And then I went along to a group that was running beginners lessons, and then it went from there.
Mm.
So it was all very much a gradual, I'm experiencing this in a way that is quite relaxing for me. So this is something that setting something off in me. And then it was just like, oh, other people do this as well.
Right.
I'm not an island. And finding other people to do it with allowed me to explore it more, because there are more experienced people there as well. And it was just lovely.
That's something I really love about the BDSM community in general, is that people will kind of have these special interests or things that intrigue them, and they find community and safe outlets for it. That delay.
Yeah. You can also expand on the kind of things you can do with needles. So yes, within the needle community, there's something called zippering. And zippering is where you have some small gauge needles, so some 30 or some 36 gauge needles, and you have some thread going through these needles.
Ooh.
And then part of the end of this, which is the wonderful endorphin rushes, you just pull them all off one after the other using the string. So you just pull the string and it zippers away, and then it's just, oh, yes.
That's incredible. I think I'm looking at a couple pictures of that, and they kind of look like, are these like the ones that are like the corsets?
Yes, the corsets. So you can get the corsets, and then you can also have things where, we did a Halloween themed one. So on my belly, we had some needles going around in orange, and then start at the bottom and pull all the way around and pull them all off in about 5-10 seconds. So yeah, it's really relaxing, really lovely. And then you can go on to other things. So if you are being slightly more adventurous, so you can mix needle play and stapling. So you can have skin staples as well. So at Christmas time, we did a Christmas tree on my back. So we put the needles in and then we put some ribbon on. So we staple the ribbon in as well.
And then you're a lovely
and then you...
decorated person.
Yes.
Very festive. Well, I really, really thank you for...
Can you imagine what the facial expressions of the people in the cast are, or even the facial expressions of the girls are listening
to? Even me, I was shocked by that. But we really, Phoebe, appreciate you not only staying up late, but taking the time to call in and share with us or teach us about needle play. So thank you so much, Phoebe.
Yes,
there was one thing that I did see that wasn't really for me, but there was a challenge going on. I didn't take part in this challenge because it's not my kind of thing. But there was a challenge where this person said, how many syringes can you fit on my buttocks? The small syringes, and you're just trying to see just how many you can fit on this person's buttocks. And
it was oh my goodness. I just went,
that's not for me. But it is probably something for you. So, yeah, it helps everybody. And needle play is one of those broad things where, as long as you're doing it safely and as long as you know where not to do the needle play, so don't do it near your kidneys, for example. Don't do it near your rib cage. If you're going to do it through the nipples, be very, very careful and you know what you're doing. But if you're into that kind of endorphin rush, and that's the kind of thing, like me, that I get off on it. It's just wonderful for me, and I really enjoy it. And thank you for listening to me.
Yeah, thank you, Phoebe. Thank I hope you enjoy the rest of your night, and I hope or morning, and I hope you get some sleep.
I most certainly shall. Hope I get some sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Phoebe. Lovely to speak with you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Also, before you engage in some of these more experimental or possibly, I don't want to say extreme, but potentially harmful, physically harmful.
Potentially dangerous.
Get yourself educated first. Learn from somebody who's experienced in this way. I don't know if you need to consult your physician or whatnot. Please don't just hear something on our show and be like, I'm just going to go try this right now, because we do not want to be the cause of anybody getting injured. There is, of course, a very safe way to do this where you're lowering the risk of things like infections or other problems. So please take the time, do your research. Whatever you do, just don't do it and be like, well, Ethan and Hannah had it on their show, so we just decided to try it.
Don't even bring me into that. No, get a mentor if possible. Yeah, definitely. Even with rope play, if you hear about a kink, respect your body, respect your partner, respect your play partners, and do your research, find a community, find a mentor, read up on it, because a lot of things can go wrong. And always get consent. Always.
And for those that don't know, after the pickup line, we go into Discord. We're going to start doing 10 minutes interactive chat where anyone can come on and talk with us. It'll be the Discord after show. We're going to be doing it weekly starting tonight. It might take us a few minutes after the show to get Hannah signed in. Hannah, I sent you the link in the private chat. I'd like to thank our top tier patrons, Cindy Plaza, Kenneth Leonard, Sky, Jump and Shoot, Oz, Secularity, Philip Leach, Caitlin Beyond, Toast, Richard Gilliver, Sunset Sarge, The Blazing Wizard Pope, Amit Matthew, Kianta and Fava Beans, and Ray Sylvester. Thank you all for your patronage. We appreciate everyone who tuned in and watched us today. For those that don't know, every Tuesday we have a show on YFNA called The Perspective at 7 p.m. Central. This Tuesday it'll be Jim Burrows and myself. We tackle paranormal and supernatural claims, conspiracy theories, belief in aliens, and we're even now tackling political claims. Additionally, on August 9th, we're having our next episode of The Hot Seat, which is where we bring on two guests and they debate three topics while eating progressively hotter wings. It will be Dragnaut versus Rudy B with host V. LaBianca. Yeah. And then lastly, August 14th, I'm really excited. Hannah and I are going to be hosting an ACA fundraiser. We're literally every single host but one will be on YFNA with all the behind the scenes people, one jam-packed stream, and you're going to get to know the entire ACA in and out, and we're going to try and raise as much money as possible. And for those who aren't familiar, the ACA hosts great shows like Secular Sexuality, The Atheist Experience, Talk Heathen, and Truth Wanted.
Yeah.
Oh, and the nonprofits.
Yeah.
So, Hannah, I really enjoyed this episode with you. I was worried. I didn't think we would have enough, but we had some, you know, two great callers.
Incredible.
A lot of territory. I think it was a good episode.
I had a blast. And thank you, everyone who tuned in. Thank you, Secularity, as always, for being our lovely call screener, making that possible. And thank you to everyone who tuned in. I had a blast.
And lastly, next week on the Pickup Line, we're going to be discussing poly and open relationships, and we're going to have a small roundtable of people. Our call screener, Secular Rarity, will be one of those. So any poly or open questions, open relationship-related questions, call the show. Thanks, everyone, and make sure you like and subscribe.